For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
What the Spirit is saying, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that you're making your will known to us and your word alive to us, and we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. So tonight we're looking at characteristics of godly prosperity, and the reason why there are characteristics of godly prosperity is because there's also characteristics of a kind of prosperity of the world, a prosperity of fools that's not based on godliness whatsoever. It's based on selfishness, it's based on people getting things not through the system of God. And so we're not looking at that way. We're looking at there's a different way. There's the way of God in prosperity. So characteristics of godly prosperity. Let's begin by looking in the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. So what there are is attributes or elements of our character and who we are and what we are doing that is in line with God's plan and the outworking of his way through us is, we'll call it spiritual economics, through us of financial increase and blessing and things being well in our lives in what we do and how we do them. And Proverbs 24 and verse 3, it says, "Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established." And this wisdom is not just like, oh, well, I understand how to, you know, go through the process of building a house, architecture and planning processes and whatever. Now, he's talking about wisdom as in where is the source for wisdom, but turning into the Bible and having an understanding heart about the principles or precepts of how to do things in the kingdom of God. And so we need to have the wisdom of how to walk in prosperity, because through wisdom is an house builded. In other words, your life, what you do, prosperity, things building up, that's all through God's wisdom. And it says, by understanding, it is established. So the prosperity of God and the operation of God is something that's lasting and enduring. And so what we're seeing here is that one of the primary characteristics is that we have to be a person of wisdom and to be connecting into the stream of God's wisdom. Let's look in Ecclesiastes, which is just the next book over, and chapter 7 and verse 11, because in Ecclesiastes 7:11 it says, "Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun." And I'll just take the loose meaning of inheritance, which is things coming into your life, you know, gifts, money, wealth. Well, it's not just enough for things to come into your life. You need wisdom. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. How many times have we heard stories of people who won the lottery only to completely go bonkers? And that's because they're in a system that's not even the right system to start with, but then they don't have any wisdom, they're fools, and they're doing all kinds of crazy things with money, and they go haywire. It says, "And by it there is profit to them that see the sun." Why? Because when you get something or when you have something in God, you know the way or the mechanisms, the steps, the process of profitability. And what are those things? Well, primarily, without going into any detail, first of all, be aligning with the will and plan of God. What do you see in the Bible? What are the instructions there? What does the Spirit lead? What are the attributes of the Spirit? Well, one of those major things is walking in love. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3, because the love we're talking about isn't some sort of flashy feeling or, you know, overwhelming emotional state. That's not necessarily what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the biblical kind of love that's a love in the body of Christ and a love that Christians are mandated to be walking in. It's a love like how God has loved or provided to mankind, even though he didn't have to give and to help. God wasn't thinking about his own selfish ends, not at all. God's thinking about what ends help others, and that is called charity, the proper meaning of that word, charity. One Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3, it says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor," so he's giving everything away, "and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." So charity is love in action, but love in action is the great motivator and is not just an external thing. It's not just like, oh well, it looks like I'm doing good things. No, love is a way of thinking and a way of being. It's really what motivates those actions is got to be true love. So true love is not self-seeking. For example, verse 4, it says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself." So it's not pushing itself up. It's not saying, "Look at me." It's not puffed up. So it's not vain. It's not self-seeking. Charity. So true prosperity is about what can we do to help others, not, well, where's a photo opportunity of me being seen, you know, caring for someone, you know, for the photo. Let's look at another characteristic, and that is the characteristic of, it's also about a motivation in how we are doing it, and that is the characteristic of joyfulness, of wanting to do the right thing, of cheerfulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Again, the next book over. Now, we are going to come back to this passage in a little while after, but I'll just read one verse from here. 2 Corinthians 9, 7, it says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." So how you give. It's not just, oh well, he gave something really nice and expensive. It's not just that, it's how you give, not grudgingly or of necessity. It wasn't forced, wasn't, you know, begrudgingly. It says, "For God loveth a cheerful giver." So prosperity is about the quality or the atmosphere of what you're doing. If you're giving and it's just because it's a forced thing, then it's really not the right thing. And one thing about prosperity we know, about giving I should say, that we know, is that because it's a blessed thing to give, it's a good thing to give, then you're really not just thinking, oh well, it's a deficit to me to give, it's a loss. You're not thinking that. Yes, there's a cost. You do give something. What you're thinking is, this is to help the other person. This is to help the kingdom of God. This is because God desires this. This is because it's a good thing, and I know that God repays if I give to the poor or lend to the poor. I know that if I give and sow, that God is multiplying back to me. That's fine, but I'm here actually to give and do this thing to start with because genuinely, what? We want to help someone, and we also want to be pleasing and helping in the things of God. Let's look in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 3. Isaiah 9 verse 3, it says, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy." So God is bringing about a change of circumstance, you know, blessing happens, but it's not God that makes a change in a person's heart as far as the choice is up to you. The choice is in the person. God's not overriding your will. Who increases the joy actually? Well, you do, because you see and recognize this is God. If God was just making us joyful in that it was like a robotic thing, then that would be not genuine from the heart, joy. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Why? Because they know of the blessing of God, and then there's an increase in walking in it. That's when the joy and rejoicing is coming in. And in fact, you can be joying even when you don't see it yet, because you have the promise. That's actually the faith rejoicing there. And the reason why you rejoice is because God doesn't have faith for you. If God had faith for us, then what is the point of anything? Why even tithe or give anything? Oh, it's just God. He's going to either bless me or not bless me. No, there's responsibility. You actually still have to give. You actually still have to believe. You actually still have to make the steps, because that's what we're called to do. It's about the practical actions of manifesting the fruits. So God's not making it all happen for you. Oh yes, God's blessed me and I did nothing and that's it. No, what it is God's made available for you the blessing. In fact, he's provided seed for you to sow. And you can study that out very clearly in the Bible. He's provided you seed to sow. But unless you took the opportunity to sow seeds, what on earth good would it be for anything, because you just got the seed in your hand? Oh, well, I've got some blessing from God for myself. No, seed is for sowing. Seed is for giving. You've got opportunity to do good. You take that step, because that's the faith step. And the increase that you get out of that is magnificently much more, is manifold more than just having held and eaten the seed. And so we can see very clearly in this promise here, it says, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. Why? Because you've made a choice to believe God, and then it's not God that made the joy go up, it's your faith and your joyfulness in walking in the things of God. You know, these people, they could have looked in the time of the prophets and said, ah, this second temple that we've got, it's just not matching up with what Solomon had. And yet the prophecy came to them saying that the second temple and the things of God will be greater. And how is that possible? How do you see it? You see it with eyes of faith. And that's an image of, really, not just the second temple. And by the time of when Jesus and his disciples were there, they were going, oh, look at these stones, because the second temple had been beautified by the New Testament. Look at this. Look at these great things here, this great second temple. But really, what's the real second temple is, or the real spiritual second temple is the church. That's God's house. And in fact, we know from the prophecy, it says in the last days that there'll be a flow to the house of God, to the mountain of God. Now, that primarily in a spiritual sense for us as Christians is talking about the flow of prosperity into the church. Well, are we ready for that? Are we seeing that with eyes of faith? And so the characteristics that we need to have are these characteristics of consistency now in wisdom, love, walking in the joy of God, and doing the right thing. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 11, because what we'll see here is that there are motivations people have about why they're not going to give, and they're wrong motivations, they're devilish motivations. So there's temptations that can come to Christians. Oh, don't give, because if you'd give, you won't have anything to eat tonight. Oh, if you don't do that, do it this way, do this, do something else. We can't walk in pride, we can't walk in fear. Proverbs 11, verse 24 says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. People think it's smart to, oh, if I don't give anything, I'll just hold on to what I have. But actually, they're holding back out of fear, and they're not going to be walking in the blessing of prosperity. Verse 25 says, the liberal soul, that's one that's ready to be able to give without stinginess, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Now, it can be just illustrative, but I remember one time in a retail situation, and it's happened a few times, when people are paying for something, but they're such stingy people, it's very hard for them to let go of that money as they're paying for something. You can feel it, it's like clinging on to that money. Now, that's just the outward manifestation, but what's in their heart? What's in their heart is it's hard for them to give. Why? Because of fear, because they're grasping, holding on, miserly attitude. That's not an attitude of the kingdom of God. Jesus, in his giving of himself on the cross, of God the Father sending Christ, wasn't stingily holding back from us salvation. Wasn't something that he was only giving us partial measures of. But he gave freely. And because he gave freely, we also should be giving freely. See, God is a giver and has provided the example to us of giving. And so likewise, we should be givers. And let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 11. And we see this very principle being talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's the principle of being able to give what God wants us to give, and there being no fearful thing holding us back. And yes, sometimes, and it's happened, people have had to have deliverance from this. Well, how do you walk in deliverance? One is you renew your mind. Another thing is you make those steps of faith and you do make the breakthrough offering. There's people that have had to do it. They've had to say, I'm going to give these hundreds of dollars because it's such a hard barrier for me to be able to do that, to give hundreds of dollars. It can be a barrier for people to give in some substantial amount to them. Hundreds of dollars might be a very substantial amount in their thinking. And yet these people can have plenty of money in their bank account, but there's barriers because of stinginess of thought. Well, that's not a prosperous way of living, because it's not thinking like God's going to provide or there's going to be an increase. Now they're thinking like, I've got to hold on to what I have. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, start from verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Why? Because it's just a matter of how much you're putting forth. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The law is set down. It's a law of God. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So there's a connection now between cheerfulness and giving freely. It's not just, oh yes, I feel good in my heart and I'm happy to do it. If you really feel good in your heart and you're happy to do it, it's not going to be a hard thing for you to give bountifully in the things of God. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Is that saying there's impossibilities and barriers? No. Do you know that prosperity giving is a way for you to fulfill the mission that God has laid out for your life? Can you see that God is able to not only supply all your needs in whatever direction you've been called to go in, but in fact you can go to full potential, because it says having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Do you want to do good works? I think there's Christians who do want to do good works. That's a good thing. Do you want to do good works? Well, the good works that God wants you to do aren't just the little good works you think, oh, that was a big accomplishment for me to be able to do that thing. That's your level of thinking of what's you know, a good work. Oh, it was good. I was able to give them $1,000. I was able to give them a car. What's God's level of abounding to every good work can be way beyond those limits. That's God's way of thinking what's he called us to. We shouldn't have our own limitations on, oh yes, I've been blessed of God and I've come to this level. No, that's your thinking. I mean, it's a good thing. Yes, you are blessed. Yes, there is prosperity. But there's a different way of thinking that's saying, what's God's way of thinking? What's his level? Having all sufficiency in all things. Well, that's a whole lot more than the adequate sufficiency you might be experiencing now. And yes, you may be walking in the blessing of God now, but he wants us to abound to every good work. Good works in areas you may not have even thought of. Well, that's where God has called us. Verse 9, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, okay, there's no excuse here. Do you know that every one of us has been given seeds to sow? None of us is without seeds to sow. This one thing that God has put in creation is that every human being, no matter who you are, and let's say like in Australia today, there's no human being that has not got some potential seed to be able to sow. So this is a work of God in creation. It's an inviolable law that there is seed for you to sow. There is seed for you, something for you to do, to be able to do, that not only for you to be able to give, but that God then can minister bread for your food, he meets your needs, and multiplies your seed sown. In other words, what you give, he multiplies back to you and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So, yes, there's material blessings, but there's also blessings of the spiritual attributes or of the works of the kingdom of God. Now, by that I don't just mean, although it does mean, yes, you can walk in greater love or walk in greater fruits or even spiritual gifts or whatever, but also the actual fruits of the righteousness include all the tangible results that that's having in the lives of people and in the work of God in history. So that means that it's not just intangible, like, oh well, I felt more peace or I felt more love or something like that, but it also means there is manifestly differences and changes made where there was not things in people's lives, there now are things in people's lives. And so you can see from these words here in the scripture that there is a way of going up in God. And verse 11 says, being enriched in everything, in all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. So we're talking about characteristics of godly prosperity. Well, we see right here, one characteristic about giving, well, is to be a giver, but also is to be giving in God's way of thinking. So it's not human-based or limited thinking. It's giving on an increase. It's a upward-looking giving thinking. Let's look in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts 20, 35. In Acts 20, 35 says, I have showed you, this is Paul, all things, how that, so labouring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how, he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So, how did he say that? So, it's not just words. Jesus showed it by actions as well. So, that's very important. That's our lifestyle of giving. It's not just in word only, but it's a whole way of thinking and being. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Because to be the blesser is to help someone, is to do good to someone. Now, when you receive, that's great. That's really good, of course, and you might think, well, that's wonderful. But do you know, when you receive, you've got more to give to bless people more? Do you realize that? I mean, for example, why was the Samaritan called good? Think about it. The good Samaritan. Was he a pauper and had no ability to help someone? No, the good Samaritan had financial prosperity enough in his life to help someone that he didn't even know, by the way, not only to just help get his life back instantaneously, but actually helped and said, if that man has any more needs, because I'm going away, I have to do something, I'll pay anything further to make sure he's fine, in that parable that Jesus told. Can you understand that that Samaritan was not a pauper, because a poor man couldn't have done that? Now, poor man could see, oh, someone's been beaten on the side of the road, I'll try and help him and whatever. I can't afford a donkey to carry him or anything, or an ass or anything. I can't afford to put him in the inn to help him out. Sure, wish I could though. I'd like to help him. No, you can see that God has prospered us so that we can be doing good. And then the level of prosperity we have is such, not only do we do good, but that there is an increase as we multiply or give. As we give, there's a multiplying coming back so we can give more. Therefore, an increase in our giving capacity. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 is a very well-known passage. Is it good enough to have intentions? Oh yes, I want to help someone. Well, we all have some seed to sow to begin with. So a characteristic is to use your seed. Characteristic is be ready to do something. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. So this is what comes back. Good measure. That means abundantly multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. What's that a picture of? It's a picture of lots of things coming back. What does that mean, shaken together? Well, I'll tell you what it means. You know when you pour, say, I don't know, chickpeas, let's say, put chickpeas into a cup. Now, there's chickpeas, you just pour them in, but what happens is you want to put more chickpeas in the cup. If you shake that cup, there's a settling that happens between the spaces between the chickpeas, and then you can fit some more in the cup. And this is what the picture is here. It's not just, idly give to you something back. No, there's an increase. God wants there to be more. God wants there to be abundant. You know, it says good measure, pressed down and shaken together. And running over. Not just, oh, I got a little cup full back. No, it's an abounding amount. So shall men give into your bosom? Why? Because you're giving out? Are they giving back because they saw you're a giver? Well, can be, but not necessarily. It's because it's a spiritual law. You give, you do, what happens? It comes back to you. Even in the world, in other religions, they've realized this is a principle. They've realized what you do matters, and it comes back to you more than what you gave out. People in the world today, they know it's a principle. If they know, how much more should Christians be doing it? Not just on their law of threes or whatever they have, but on the tenfold, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. That's a biblical way of thinking. For with the same measure that ye meet, that's your meter or measuring cup, withal, it shall be measured to you again. You give with the teaspoon measure. Oh, today I'm going to give you a teaspoon of blessing. That's good, you gave something. How does the spiritual law happen? The angel with the teaspoon comes along and measures back to you, say, tenfold of teaspoons of things. So what's controlling the multiplication is actually the portion, and it's a spiritual law. So you're holding back, oh, I'm giving in the teaspoon. Well, then that's the kind of abundance that comes back. But it's inevitable. It has to come back. Well, you give in the cup load. Give a cupload of blessing. Do good. Or give a cupload into the church. what happens? The angel with the cup comes along and measures by cup back to you. Tenfold's worth of cup. Well, that's good. 10 times more than what you had before. That's great. But can you see that when you understand this, you can start to see every good thing you do that's going to go up, back. It's a principle for breaking through, going forward. All right, we're going to increase the giving now. I'm going to bring the wheelbarrow. You bring the wheelbarrow offering. What happens? The angel comes back with the wheelbarrow to measure by wheelbarrow back into your life. Can you see? I'm just illustrating that to you. Can you see the principle of the kingdom of God, that we regulate how and what measure is coming back to us? So being a giver is a good thing. Being a free giver, a liberal giver, not a stingy giver, not a fear-based giver, but a love and joy-based giver, that's a good thing. Let's go a little bit further and look at the area of tithing in Malachi 3, verse 8 to 12. You have to be an obedient giver. We're coming to the end, but we're looking at characteristics of godly prosperity. Well, you can't be a non-tithing Christian and walk in prosperity properly. Let's just say one of the characteristics or one of the things you should be doing is being an obedient Christian. God calls it robbery not to be, first of all, dedicating before Him what you do and what you give and what you gain. Malachi 3, starting from verse 8. Malachi 3, starting from verse 8, says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, in that ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." So there's the number one thing there. He talks about tithing properly. "That there may be meat in mine house." You want to gain in the kingdom of God? You want to know, you know, how can we go forward in anything of the kingdom of God if there's not meat, spiritual food, in the house of God? Well, there first has to be that connection, obedience. Bring all the tithes. "And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So it's not just enough to be a tither. That's good. You should be a tither. The tithing is the windows of heaven are now open. Blessing is there ready to work. Now you go around and do your offering. You go around and do your doing good to others. You go around and put in the church, "Oh yes, I'll give this. I'll say that to that person to encourage them. I will, you know, give this gift to this person," or whatever. Verse 11, he says, "And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Can you see that blessing in the church, blessing in your life, results from you walking in this area? But not only that, if as a church you walk in it, even if a nation literally walks in this area properly, you can see what effect it has into the lives of, not only the lives, but also into the very things that you have. How else do you think, when it talks about the wilderness being turned into a fruitful area and things like that, those effects come about because of right spiritual effects being put into place. You be a giver, what you own, there's a blessing upon it. You be a doing good and doing the right thing, well, the right spirit is going to be there helping in what you have and do. Let's finish with Proverbs chapter 10. In Proverbs 10, because there's another characteristic, and that characteristic is actually about sticking with it. This is not I'll try and do a tithe today and see how it works out. once in a lifetime chance only. No. Proverbs 10. We'll look at verse 4. It says, He that becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Can you see it's about an ongoing lifestyle? He that gathereth in summer is a wise man, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. So you can see very clearly here that it's not just about, oh, I did the right thing once, but it's about ongoing. It's a life. It's not paying one tithe one time only. It's a continuous lifestyle. And that means that the continuous flow of prosperity is there as well. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your work and your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you're helping us. And we thank you that we can link into your system, one that is not a system of limitation, and that you're bringing us to new levels in you. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.